We continue our learning the Nishmas David Bimanachal Shem Tam Yaakov Bifinichos Elio. We're in Midos Perek Beis Mishnah Beis. Kol Nichnasim Lahar Abayis Nichnasim Derech Yamin Umakifin V'Yotzim Derech Smol. Anyone who enters the Har Abayis, the Temple Mount, whatever gate you walk through, once you come through, you're supposed to go to your right. Going, so let's say you came in from the east, that means you're going to turn to your right and go to the north, and then come around Umakifin. Then you encircle the area, and you would go to your to the west V'Yotzim Derech Smol and come out on the left side, which is now is in the south. So wherever you would enter, so you'd go counterclockwise. Chutz mimi she'era davar shu makif l'smol. Except someone who had something unfortunate happen to them, we'll see what that means. Such a person should enter and they would go to their left. And this way people would ask him, and the Mishnah says, malacha makif l'smol, why are you encircling towards the left? And if he answers, sha'ani avel, and he says, oh, I'm an avil. In other words, he's supposed to call attention to himself so that people can console him. So what will people respond when he says, I'm an avil, I'm an avilus? Hashochein babayis haseinachemcha. Hashem, who rests in this house, what better place to receive consolation from Hashem than in the Beis HaMikdash itself? So the person goes to the left this way, it calls people's attention. And people can respond by saying, Hashem, who rests in this house, he should console you. Sha'ani menuda, or could be that one of the era davar, something unfortunate that happened is that he was excommunicated, but he went to a Beis Din, did something wrong, and Beis Din put him in cherim. So what would people say to him? Hashochein bebayis hazeh yitain belibam vikarvucha. Hashem, who rests in this home, in this house, he should place in their hearts, into the hearts and the minds of the Beis Din, that they who excommunicate that they shall draw you close. In this way, they wouldn't console such a person. Divrei Rabbi Meir, this is Rabbi Meir's opinion, who believes that we can give nechama to the menuda, the one who is excommunicated as well. Amar Rabbi Reos, you know, I disagree. Asisen kiilu avru alav asadin. What you're doing, so you're undermining the excommunication. The Beis Din obviously had good reason to put this person in cherim, and by saying that they should revisit the matter, they should place in their hearts to try to bring you back close. So you're undermining their psak. So rather, Ella, what do we say to the person who went to the left who says that he's a menudeh? He was put in cherem. We say to him, Hashochein babayis hazeh yitain bilibach. Not yitain bilibach in their heart, bilibam in the hearts of the Beis Din. No, Hashem should place in your heart. That you should do tshuva, thoughts of tshuva. V'tishma l'dvei chaveirecha v'karvucha. And not that they listen to you, you have to listen to them. And hopefully you'll listen to the words of the Beis Din next time, this time, v'karvucha, and they will bring you close. One interesting idea that the Tiferes Yosel says regarding the Avel is that since we mentioned most of the people enter from the south, that's where they have the most traffic. So if you're entering to the south and you go to your left, that means you're going to the west. And if you're going to the west, so that means you're closest to the Mikdash itself. And the way he describes it in such a beautiful way is as follows. He says that it's almost like a child. He says, "Venira li od demishum derov haknisa b'dorim ayim." Since most people entered in the south, nimsa mi she nichnas derech shari darom. If you're now entering through the in the south, in the gates of the south, uponilis smolo, and you turn to your left like this avil, makdimum emaher l'makom hamikdash. You're basically now going. You're rushing, going as quickly as you can to the makom hamikdash itself, which is in the west. V'nitan bazer remez l'roav, and now this is v'nosin bazer. And this is now gives a hint to those who see him. Such a person, you know why he's going to the west, to going to the left? Because he needs Racham Eshamayim. He's like a child in crisis show, who's running to his father's house immediately because he needs consolation. So that's the idea to describe the one who is an Avelus. Okay, Perek Beis, Mishnah Gimel, Lifnim Mimenu. Once we enter the Har Abayis, now we're going closer within the walls of the Har Abayis. We now meet up with the Soreg with a lattice work. Is it Gavo Asar Tzvachim? Is 10 Tzvachim high, which is officially the height of a Mechitza. And Hilchos Shabbos and many other areas. So Soreg, this was an area that would prevent, it was a lattice work, it was a mechitza, to prevent non-Jews from entering. Not only non-Jews, But even a Jew who has tumas mace. So according to many, the different explanations about the soreg and the chel, we mentioned the chel many times. The chel is the area, the 10 amos area, right outside the walls of the azara, of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash itself. So those who claim that maybe the soreg is the mechitza that precedes the chel. So you walk through onto the Har HaBayis, and eventually you come up to the soreg, which surrounds the chel. The chel is that open area, the 10 amos before you get to the Azara. Different explanations for what the Soreg is and how far it is from the Chael. Either way, important for certainly a hot topic, ascending Har HaBayis, is important to recognize that those who ascend Har HaBayis assume that that we know the measurements and we know where the Soreg begins. We are all Tamei Meis nowadays, so that would mean that to go beyond the Soreg, to go into the Chael area, even before the Azara, would be prohibited. Onto the Har HaBayis itself before the Soreg, that's acceptable, unless you're someone who has some bodily emission. So that means a Balkeri, a Zava, Zavar, Nida. So these are people who could not go there. Those who go to Har HaBayis will go to the Mikkah before they ascend Har HaBayis. But that's just the Har HaBayis, the temple mount, before you hit the Soreg. When you hit the Soreg, and now you're entering into the Chael area, that area is even more holy. And anyone who is a non-Jew or someone who is Tamei Meis, which is really all of us, is not permitted to enter. Since we don't have that Soreg today, we're relying on measurements that we may have, historical measurements that are recorded as to where the Soreg actually began. Then the Mishnah says, so we know it's 10 Tzvachim high, Ushlosh Yesrei Pratzos Hayusham. There were 13 breaches there, Shepartzum Pratzum Malchei Yavon. So in the Soreg itself, there were 13 breaches which were broken through by the Syrian Greeks when they came to the Beis HaMikdash. Chazru ugdarum v'gazu kinegdam shloshes shteyish shachavir. So after we recaptured the Beis HaMikdash from the Syrian Greeks, from the Yevanim, so the Jews repaired those breaches in the wall, those 13, but they made a decree, they made a gazru, that these should be places where we were to bow. We knew where they were, these 13 breaches where the Soreg had been broken, and every time you come to that area, you're supposed to bow. That doesn't mean you have to bow 30 times. It means whenever you get to one of those areas, you're expected to bow. Lifnim imenu, beyond the Soreg, hachel esaramos. So one explanation is the way we've been explaining it. Right after the Soreg, that was the beginning of the chel, and others claim maybe not. Maybe the Soreg was an area that was not right in front of the chel. It didn't surround the chel. Maybe the Soreg was an area partition that was way before the chel, and the chel maybe started a little bit later, but we know the chel is an area that's 10 amos, right before the walls of the Azara itself. So that's lifnim imenu achel eser amos, ushteim esrei malos hayusham, and there were 12 steps on the eastern side of the chel. Ruma malo chatzi yama v'shilcha chatzi yama. The height of each step was a half an amma, and the top of the step, the shilcha means the height was a half an amma, and the width of the was a half an amma. And then Mishnah says that kol amal shor yisham, all the steps that we had in the mikdash, rum mala chatzi amma v'shilcha chatzi amma. The height of the step was a half an amma, and the width was a half an amma. Chutz mishel ulam, except the steps between the ulam and the mizbeach, they didn't have all the same measurements. We'll see perhaps later. Kol apsachim v'hasha'arim shor yisham gav hanesrim amma v'rachman eser amos chutz mishel ulam. Another exception that the ulam had. The Ulam was the area right before the Heichal. Well, and that is that all of the openings and the gates and the Mikdash, the height was 20 amos and the width was 10 amos, except the Ulam, which was 40 amos tall and 20 amos wide. And all of the openings in the Mikdash had doors, except the Ulam, that didn't have doors, but rather it had a paroches covering it. And all of the gates were shkufos, which means it had a mashkofa, had a lintel on top that was straight, like normal doors. Chutz mishar tadi, which you may remember, the shar tadi in the north, that shayusham shtei avanimotos zo al gavzo. That's in fact maybe what tadi means, a triangle. That they had two stones leaning one on the other like a triangle, or leaning meaning a down on a bottom one. And then they came down in a triangle shape. And that's that was an exception to the general rule where there was a regular mashkof. All of the sha'arim that may have started out as wood because we couldn't afford anything more. Once there was enough wealth, so they covered them in gold, the gates. Chutz mishar nikonor, except one of the sha'arim, that was the sha'ar in the mizrach of the Azara, of the east of the Azara, mipnei shenasa mehaneis, because of a miracle that happened with the sha'ar nikonor, as discussed in a brice in Maseches Yoma. Briefly, Nicanor went to Alexandria in Egypt to bring doors for the sha'arim of the Mikdash, and he had two doors made out of wood, and they were covered in copper. And when he was coming back on the boat, so one of there was a big storm, and so everyone on the boat says, "Listen, we got to get rid of these very heavy doors." They threw one into the sea to see if things would calm down. Still didn't help. They wanted to throw the other one in, and Nicanor basically said, "Over my dead body." And all of a sudden, after he said that, the storm stopped. And he ended up, and he was holding on to that door. And when they came back to the port in Eretz Yisrael from Alexandria, the other door had been coming along with them the whole time. And since the miracle was done, so therefore they kept them, even though they were a copper, they did not decide not to overlay them in gold. The Yeshua Mimin, some say, it's not because of the Nes, but Meneshe Nuchushtan, Matziv, but that rather than the Nechoshes, the copper that was used on the doors of Nicanor was so radiant, shined so much, even more than gold, and therefore they didn't have to change them at all.